This is a Mexican Crossing Lines. Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
On 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And tonight, we are celebrating the reunited family. Mary Trujillo is home.
Excellent.
Mary Trujillo is finally with her family. And that's what we're talking about tonight on A Mexican Crossing Lines. Now, for those of you who've been following this story for a while, you know that there were some allegations that were made against Kathleen Bennett, that she had abused her mother. You can find this story along with this podcast at kpppfm.com and all the other stories that preceded it, where we have been telling you about the false allegations against Kathleen Bennett of elder abuse. The most recent show that we did was one where we exposed Melanie Stoneman.
Mm-hmm. It's called Melanie Exposed.
That's correct. Melanie Exposed. And you can go find that on our website if you want to hear all of the shows that are connected to the investigation of the allegations against Kathleen Bennett. In the case of Mary Trujillo, you can go to our website and go all the way back to the in-depth series that we did with Bill Runningfisher mm-hmm. and Melanie Stoneman and Russell Vasquez, Josh
exactly.
Long,
mm-hmm.
Jesse Sankey, and many others.
Yes.
And what we found in the very last show that we did about this story is that Michael Trujillo and his wife told us that on January 19th, when Melanie called me and told me that Mary Trujillo was dying, that he was visiting his mother at that time. And Melanie said as much during her call. In fact, she hung up on me because she was going to be meeting with Michael in that moment. And she said that Mary was dying. But what she told Michael and Beth was that Kathleen had wiped out her mother's bank account, that she'd taken all the money out of the account. So Michael told us on my last show that he closed the account and he was very upset with his sister. And he looked at the statements and came to find that the person that had wiped out the account was Melanie Stoneman. She's the one that had taken all the money. And she'd blamed Kathleen Bennett. And in the interviews that I did with Melanie Stoneman on the 19th and the 20th, she told me that new charges would be brought against Kathleen Bennett. And indeed, on January 26th, these new charges were brought against her. And they were for taking money out of the account, $1,200 and some dollars. The exact amount that Melanie Stoneman took out of that account. So we are now going to fill you in on what happened after that show. Because let me tell you,
mm-hmm.
stuff happened.
Definitely.
So we're going to be bringing you all of that. And we are going to be sharing with you what media justice looks like. That's what we do here at 88.1 FM. We are a non-commercial station that works on bringing marginalized voices to the fore, because we don't have a media that supports the voices of those who are marginalized in our media. And what I want for folks to remember tonight, it is that what we are experiencing right now, what I'm about to tell you that happened after our show, It happened because of you. It happened because of the people that responded to this show, that listened to this program and did their research and followed the activities, the fraudulent lies. And you held people accountable. You asked them, why did you do this? Why did you say this? And there was a lot of people that came forward and told us what their experiences were with some of the people involved in this story, including Melanie Stoneman and Bill Running Fisher. And so I want to remind you that this is what media justice looks like. A community of people coming together and doing the work that mainstream media isn't willing to do, hasn't been willing to do, didn't do in this case. So I want to thank all of you, the people out there, who have been diligently watching and following all of this and holding people accountable and paying attention to what's going on. Because that has made all the difference. It really has. So I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our viewers, and I want to thank this family for sharing their story with us. Because it is not a pretty story. The accusations against Kathleen Bennett are heinous. And it's very disturbing to see a family of water protectors from Standing Rock maligned in this way. The harm that has been done to this family is immeasurable. But today, we are here to celebrate a miraculous event, and that is that not only did Melanie Stoneman terminate her guardianship over Mary Trujillo. I know, right? But also, Mary Trujillo is now at home with her family. And here to tell us all about that is her grandson, Russell Vasquez. Welcome to the show, Russell. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Oh, we need audio.
Uh-oh. There he is.
He's working on it. Got your photo up.
You're still muted.
Now you're sideways.
Uh-oh. Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, well. Cover a little bit.
When he goes sideways, that's a bad thing, right?
Well, let me look.
Hey, okay.
There we go.
Yay.
Sorry. Samsungs, they do.
Oh, yes.
Interesting. All right.
You're in one piece.
You hear me?
Ken.
All right. Thank you, Cindy, Duke, for having me. It's been a hell of a journey, but, you know, there's some light at the end of this tunnel, so. Mm-hmm. Again, thank you for having us.
I wanted to first talk about what it was like hearing about the fact that Melanie had been terminated as a guardian. What was that like for you?
It was a victory, but as well as a caution. You know, it's hard to tell. You know, in this battle that a lot of people face and a lot of people don't know about, you don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know. You know that you did the right thing, but you don't know what their angle is, so it makes it very difficult to, you know, it's like you hear the news and you want to jump for joy, but you don't because you want to be smart and realize, hey, what's going on there? You know, why did they do it? Just like why they took advantage of this whole situation, you know?
Definitely. And, you know, I can understand what you're talking about because the documents that your family finally did receive, because your uncle didn't get them, he wasn't properly served because they used an incorrect address, even though all the other documents they served to him so far had been sent to the correct address, which is kind of odd. But anyway.
Of course, yeah.
Go ahead. So when he got these documents, it said that there was a termination of the guardianship. And Duke can throw those up.
Oh, yeah.
So we can look at them together. But it's an affidavit of service by electronic filing and mail. And it talks about that there was an electronic service of this termination that was filed. And this is in the guardianship matter of Mary Trujillo.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that was given in the second document is that Mulaney states here that she's requesting the termination herself. Request for termination of appointment. She said that she has been threatened by Mary's family. But that seems so odd to me. And people in the public, she says. And so she's requesting that. Dated, note the date, everybody, the 14th of March. What day was that? The 14th of March. So we're talking about a Tuesday, right?
It was pretty much a day after we did the show.
Yeah. We did the show on Sunday. Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
So Monday, somebody had to go in and do some quick maneuvering and get a hearing set quick.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. How long have we been doing these shows about Mulaney?
Oh. Months.
When was the first time she gave me an interview? Which was, it's been months.
Yeah, it was January.
So y'all knew that Mulaney was lying about this stuff for a long time. We've been talking about Mulaney for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. People have been calling her out on live streams, asking her, where's Mary? Free Kathleen Bennett. Asking her about her GoFundMes and her activities. And interestingly, right after the show in which we exposed that she had wiped out Mary Trujillo's account, she went in there in a hot minute and said, now I feel threatened.
Yeah.
Now I feel, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting. Timing is everything, isn't it? And so on March 14th, Tuesday, day after our show aired, she was in court saying, I'm done. I feel scared. I'm feeling threatened because of our broadcast.
Yeah, and her own actions.
Because she was caught taking money from an elder woman's account with dementia that she could not explain. And by the way, she blamed this on Kathleen.
Yeah.
The new charges that are on Kathleen, because the old charges about her zip tying her mother to a chair and leaving her in her own excrement and urine, that's total BS.
Yeah.
And we've kind of broken that down and we know it's total BS. So now the new charges are she exploited her mom by taking her money, except it was Mulaney that took the money.
Mm-hmm.
So Mulaney had to go. She had to go. But she's feeling threatened. So that's why she terminated her guardianship. That's the real reason. So she claims. But beyond that, I want people to know that It was touch and go. It was a little bit scary for Michael, your uncle, Russell, to go and try to retrieve Mary from the hospital. And you were able to get your grandmother out of the hospital. I know that Michael talked to me a little bit about it. I don't know if you want to relay the story, but your grandmother really showed the doctors during the time that they were examining her that she was ready to leave that hospital. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, she had shown them that, you know, she was eating, she was reacting properly, she was, you know, kind of following everything that they had apparently had a hard time achieving. But, you know, my grandma knew, you know, because my uncle told her, I'm coming back for you. I'm coming, I promise, coming back for you. I'm going to bring you home. And, you know, I think that really resonated in my grandmother's mind. And, you know, we're a strong family and, you know, we've had a lot of rough patches, but we've been pretty united through a lot of it. And, you know, through that, you really develop a strong relationship. And, you know, my grandma was a strong woman and she had an individual relationship with every child. And in this particular case, you know, she wants to be away from the situation, even though she can't express it. She wants to be back with her family where she was before she was ripped from them and, you know, being spoken for because she can't speak for herself, being, you know, decisions being made or having to be made by all entities. And, you know, she has to just kind of roll with it, you know. And, you know, it's a terrible thing of dementia, but it doesn't make her, you know, any less of a person. And, you know, people like us, the family members, we understand her. We've known her our whole life. The woman raised me, for Christ's sake, you know. I mean, she taught me. She helped me with school. I was a straight-A student when I was with her. Her and my mom had me on lockdown. I was, you know, on the straight and narrow, and same with a lot of us. And you know, and then to be ripped apart and all these stories be fabricated and then people step in thinking they know our situation is really, you know, it's upsetting that people can do this and think they can get away with this. But, you know, in that moment, we united and we got her back. And, yeah, it's really been a roller coaster, honestly. It's kind of surreal what happened.
I wanted to ask you, you know, you said that your grandmother kept you on the straight and narrow. And I wanted to show, you know, if you put those pictures back up, there's a picture that we got of Mary when Michael first arrived at the hospital and he saw his mom again and he was there to pick her up. And then as they're getting her into the car when she's getting ready to leave and she's got a big smile on her face. Mm-hmm. She's so excited. Michael told me that he told her, Mom, I'm here to get you. I'm here to take you home. And she kept trying to take the blankets off her legs and get out of the bed. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, not yet, Mom. We've got to do some things yet. And she's like, let's go, you know. And it's so great to see the picture of her in the car waving goodbye. You know, she's like, I'm out of here. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. She's gone. I mean, it just, it's so heartwarming to see how she reacted so positively that she even got up and asked to go to the bathroom and went to the bathroom on her own when the doctors were with her in the room.
And another thing I wanted to add on top of that is, you know, what you were bringing up earlier is, you know, the risk my uncle and my aunt took to achieve this goal. You know, they were risking a lot, you know, and it really took, it took every plan we had. It took every single preparation to the T to ensure my grandmother was able to leave with her own son, you know. And it's crazy to think, you know, this whole time my uncle is the one who's supposed to take her. Like, everyone's in agreement. He's stepping in. He's, you know, taking control of the situation. He's being, you know, he's working with them, everything, you know, he did everything perfect. And I'm so thankful. And, you know, he stepped into the gunfire. He showed up there not knowing what was going to happen. And with these situations, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, we, one minute we're trying to get my grandmother home. The next we're being removed from the hospital. And then when my mom thinks she's doing the right thing and petitioning for her own mother again, she gets arrested, you know? And these were strong fears and stuff like that. And, but we made sure we were prepared. We made sure we did everything they wanted from us, because that is what was needed for my grandmother. And we have no problem providing that. We have no problem fighting tooth and nail to ensure we meet every single piece of criteria that is necessary to take care of a vulnerable adult. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's in those moments where you think it's like you do everything you can. You know, a lot of times these people do stonewall people even to that point, but we got lucky and we, you know, we are blessed to know that today we have our grandmother and she's back with her family and she's happy and she's, I mean, she's aces. I'm telling you, she's good to go right now. She's up, she's eating, she's ready. She stood up today. You know what I'm saying? She's good to go.
Yeah. And I was so, encouraged. You know, I know how frightening this has been for your family. I find it so ironic that Mulaney talks about feeling threatened because we exposed the fact that she was taking money from your grandmother's account when she's called me telling me your grandmother's dying and they put your grandmother on these drugs. And you see Michael in this video that we're showing right now, rubbing his mother's legs. I hope you can show the rest of that video and let people see that.
Mm-hmm.
How he's caring for her as they're getting ready to leave the airport and get on a plane. And it's just amazing that she's back in the care of her family and that you can immediately see her progress toward betterment. But it's not just that. It's not just that, because the truth is that family is medicine, right? Family is medicine. And your grandma needs to be around familiar surroundings, especially being somebody with dementia. It's so important for her to be in familiar surroundings and be with her family. So the fact that she had been away from her family for so long is very troubling. And it's probably affected her health and deteriorated her health in many ways. So the question that I wanted to ask you, Russell, we're getting some interference here for something.
Oh, yeah.
Is I wanted to have you comment on what it's been like waiting for your grandmother, and have you told your mom that your grandma is safe?
It's been nerve-wracking. I mean, you can't sleep, you can't function, and everything you possibly can, and in that moment, you know, you're really tested and stuff like that. And but you know, when you reach that point, all the hard work finally adds up to something positive. You know, it's a great time to rejoice.
You're getting some kind of vibration on your side of the phone here.
I think someone's
really
calling
bad.
You went sideways, yeah. Too.
Oh, no.
There you go.
You know what you got to do? You need to put your phone on do not disturb mode so that these people cannot call you and do this to you during a live stream.
They're calling to congratulate you.
Yeah, they're like, Russell, it's awesome. I just found out.
Russell just went away. Here, we'll get him back on. We'll get him back on.
We'll get him back on in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in the meantime, I think that's his phone. People are asking me, what's that sound?
Yeah.
It's his phone. He's getting phone calls. People are blowing up his phone because they're probably watching him on the live stream going, mm-hmm. Your grandma's home?
Yep.
What? Yeah. So Isn't this crazy? And we have more to tell you about that. It's going to be real interesting because Mulaney had all sorts of interesting things to say about our show at this hearing. You know, she came in with her, "The dog ate my homework. I need to leave the, terminate the guardianship." What I find really hilarious about this is that, remember the call she made to me on February 22nd, I believe it was?
Yeah.
Or the 20th. Was it the 20th? Yeah. She called me on the 20th, a week after, probably more than a week after, I hadn't been doing any shows on Kathleen Bennett or Mary Trujillo. I hadn't mentioned her name at all. And because of the people that watched the show, seeing her on live streams leading the evacuation of the camp, people were like calling her on the carpet and going, "Where's Mary Trujillo? What are you doing in charge of camp evacuations? Mm-hmm. What about your fundraisers? What's going on?" Asking all sorts of questions about her. She called to threaten me and say, "I need to stop talking about her grandma and her and Michael. They're like this and they make decisions together. And you know, he doesn't want me talking about his mom either." She was wrong. And also, you know, she was saying all this other stuff about how Sonny is her grandpa. And she talked about her dad. And it was very interesting to me that she would call and threaten me when I hadn't been talking about her at all.
Yeah.
And she threatened a lot of other people. I mean, I looked at the comments on the show that we did on Mulaney Exposed. She actually called witnesses that have been on this show to threaten them.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really galling.
It is. It
is. And preposterous that she went to a court after she was exposed for what she's done and said, "I feel threatened."
Yeah.
Because people called her out on the carpet?
Yeah. You know, and that's the whole thing too, is that you've never called her. She's always called you.
Well, I did call her the first time when Billy Runnyfisher gave me her number.
Yeah, yeah. But then you've, after that, and you've done shows, and she calls you after the shows, and she's done nothing but continued to give you more and more information about what she's doing. And the whole idea that she's the one that's threatened, you know, she turns herself into a victim. And then people on Facebook who have been commenting on her shows, procedure in the court, she actually brought in video of the show and comments that were on the show to try to show that she was being harassed by the public. She's being harassed by the public. They're talking about me. You know, and remember the show before that, the call before that, she claimed that she was related, that Mary Trujillo was her grandma.
Grandma, yeah. She said she was her grandma.
And then we had Russell and his uncle Michael on, and they said, No, she's not related. She's not related to us.
That's so creepy.
Yes.
That's so creepy that she would be like, "Stop talking about my grandma."
Yeah.
Like her ownership over this family is so creepy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was not going to relinquish it. But she stated, for the record, she did relinquish it because of our show. So, I guess in a roundabout way, she's giving us props.
Yeah.
And that means she's giving you props, too, because it literally was you. I hadn't been broadcasting. She called to threaten me because the viewers of the show were saying, "What's going on, Mulaney? What's up? Why are you doing this?"
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't really want to answer your questions. So that was one miracle. Miracle number two, Mary is home.
Yes.
And I want to show, I don't know if you got Russell on yet.
I got Russell on. Russell's back.
I want to show what it was like for Russell to see his grandma's homecoming. Can you talk about it while we show it, Russell? Tell me what it was like waiting for your grandma to see her come down.
Sorry about that. You know, it was a lot of emotions, a lot of excitement, a lot of, anticipation, sitting at the airport waiting for my grandma, you know, to come in. And but it was a beautiful moment when I finally, you know, after, because we showed up early, so, you know, I was actually willing to show up like 3 hours early. I was kind of pacing around the house just
Now, don't lie, Russell. Don't lie. You were actually, I talked to Russell. I'm going to just like call you out right now. You went jogging. You were freaking out because your grandma was coming home.
Yeah, I had this like immense amount of energy. So I don't know. I couldn't, I just had to run. I had to do something. So I wouldn't run, ran. And then, then finally got to that point, you know, and we went and got my grandma and, you know, honestly, every little step, it was just surreal, you know, because it's just been such a long situation. All the people tuned in and stuff like that can understand. And it's good to know that hard work pays off, you know, not giving up pays off.
Yeah. And you never have given up. You have always believed that you were going to put your family back together again. So, you know, prayers answered. This is an incredible, incredible moment. That one of the things that everybody wants to know is, of course, how is Mary right now? And I know that you had stated that you had concerns about the care at the hospital St. Alexius in Bismarck, where she was at from the very beginning, even before they removed you and your mom from the hospital, because you stated that you came there once and nobody had helped her eat her food or taken the cover off her food, and that her food was cold by the time you got there. And you also stated that you noticed that she had a bruise on her knee that she didn't have before, and you thought, oh, somebody let her fall down. You know, something happened. So you had concerns. And when you finally saw your grandmother again, tell me, what are the concerns that you noticed coming back into your care?
I mean, one of the main ones was, you know, evaluating her, thinking she needed, you know, she was ready for hospice. She was at her dying day. And you know, really making us feel that way, you know, and that was really hard because it was like, you know, this heinous situation happened and now they're telling you she's dying and you want to believe their medical opinion because they're doctors, you know, that's what they go to school for. And you start panicking because, you know, all this mishap occurred and here we are, you know, now my grandma's dying, and this, you know, and all the thoughts run through your head. Positive, negative, neutral. I mean, someone like me, I sit there and over analyze things, and it's hard. And you know, it's all my family. We're all super connected. So when something like this happens and disrupts, you know, everything, it makes your minds go crazy. You know, and but specifically, when they put her on hospice care, they discontinued the medication that she was supposed to take. Thus, in turn, created swelling that was really bad on her legs and feet. And, you know, they really, they didn't mention the fact that, you know, she had this huge blister on her foot, right foot, and another smaller one just above that on her right front leg region. So it's, and you know, and immediately what we did was we, you know, we wanted to know exactly what we had in front of us. So what we did was we transported her from the hospital, boom, airport, straight to another hospital. And we wanted to get a proper evaluation somewhere in our home state, Nevada, you know. And, you know, they told us the cause of it, you know. The heart doesn't pump properly, therefore it creates a buildup in fluid, and where it starts is at the feet and the legs.
Right.
And she had medication for that, so, and it was controlled, before this all occurred. So, you know, they had been under her care. She had been under their care for almost 3 months, probably, no, over 3 months. And she comes back with these issues when she never had them before. And, you know, these, it's upsetting. You know, you expect so much from medical facilities and, you know, especially in this whole situation where they're like, we're here for her. It's all about her. The daughter, my mother, is in jail because we believe she did these things to the elderly woman that we're trying to save. And yet she's not being taken care of. So it's like, you know, you wrongfully imprisoned the one woman who was taking proper care of her and went ahead and made her in a worse condition than she was before, giving her a diagnosis that was, she's dying. Let's just go ahead and gather around her until she does. And that's, you know, that's ridiculous. Because I knew my grandmother up until the day they took her. I knew she wasn't dying, you know, and that's what I had to deal with. I had to watch people sit there and say, she was fine. She was good to go. And I watched them lift her pant legs, no bruises. I watched them check her vitals, no issues. You know, and the only real issue that occurred was the fact that the medics kept going in and out of the tarpy, leaving the flap open, not caring about my grandmother and the fact that here it's warm, out there it's freezing. So, you know, and they just, you know, and then to go into this heinous thing where they say she was zip tied, this guy saved her, she was in her urine, feces, she was no heating sources. It's just absurd what people are willing to do and what they're willing to say to create this whole situation, which it worked. A lot of people believed it. A lot of people backed it, you know.
Yeah, it's incredibly disturbing to find that the people that claimed the state, Morton County, that claimed to be protecting your grandmother from your family, from your mother, have actually pushed her to the brink of death and put her on these drugs, morphine, Ativan, discontinued her regular medical care such that she's developed blisters on her feet. And correct me if I'm wrong, but your grandmother's a diabetic, isn't she?
Right, exactly. And that is very serious. If that were to pop, it would create an infection, and that infection would be damn near impossible to contain. And the fact that they didn't say exactly what the hell was on her foot before they transferred her makes me upset. Makes me very upset, because this is, like, again, I say, these people are supposed to be looking out for the well-being of my grandmother, the woman I love, the woman that raised me and raised everyone else trying to help her. You know. Yeah. And it disrespects my grandfather, who is, you know, rest his soul, gone. But he wouldn't stand for this at all, ever. And to know that she's leaving from a hospital 3 months after she's been there with issues,
man,
that's plain and simple in itself, you know.
It's going to be really, really disturbing to you. Because, you know, I remember you telling me the story when Mulaney kicked you out of that hospital and told you, you know, they told you she was the guardian. And you said, you turned to her and you said, are you going to take care of her? Remember when you told me that story?
Yeah, I told her, since you're the guardian now, are you going to take care of her? Are you going to make sure she's fed? Are you going to make sure she gets changed? You know, are you going to make sure she's happy? You know, just you being there, giving her attention. Because I knew she wasn't going to. That this whole situation was being created, all these entities brought in, everyone being lied to, and people going with it, you know? I mean, a lot of things rely on judgment. And, you know, judgment is everything. You know, you meet someone, you want to trust them, you want to bring them into your circle because you And then they turn around and stab you in the back. And that's what Melania did. And she used so many sources. She told us, I'm here to help you. I see that you're stuck because the snowstorm came and you originally intended to leave before that happened. I'm going to help you. And then comes back again. Hey, you're still here. What's going on? You know, did you get the help? Oh, you know, and then she comes up with some excuse. And then again and again, and, you know, I'm witnessing these things and nothing was ever brought. So I started venturing out to different areas of the camp. You know, I'm just like sitting here. All right, someone's got to help. You know, we have a situation. I want to make sure there's enough funds for my mom to get back to Nevada, you know. Because a mistake happened. The storm came early and no one could calculate it and everyone kind of got hit off balance. And, you know, we were trying to go up from there. And we thought the people there who were offering help were trying to make sure everyone got home safe because everyone was a water protector that showed up there. I, them, you know, people knew us, people, you know, like we were all a community. And then it just got dark. And then all of a sudden it was just like, so yeah, it just got to the point where you know, you saw how everyone could come around one day and tell you your family's great, we hear so much good things about you, how well the grandson and the daughter take care of the mother, and you know, wounded knee survivor, we honor your appearance here, you know, blah blah blah. And then winch the fan. Crickets. But not everyone is that way. And we held a strong alliance with a lot of good people we met there, like Josh and Ren and Jesse and all the Missoula people we met. You know, a lot of good souls came to that movement. A lot of good people wanted to make an honest change, but they couldn't do that because bad, evil people were stepping in and preventing them from doing that, as well as creating situations to where it makes it damn near impossible to continue life normally. You know, mm-hmm. Had we not gotten my grandmother back and some craziness would have happened, it would have affected us deeply. It already has. But if we never would have gotten her back, we would have dealt with that reality, it would have tore us apart. And what they were banking on was the fact that we were a weak family. We weren't weak individuals who showed up to a movement because they underestimate a lot of common people. So they didn't estimate what we were willing to do for our family. They didn't estimate what dedication we have to ensuring the safety of our family members and the love can be provided to them on this earth in their lifetime. You know.
Can you tell me, have you talked to your mom about your grandma being home? How does she respond to that?
She's ecstatic. She's, you know, I mean, that was her biggest concern, even being in there. You know, I would talk to her and she would tell me, I'm cool. You know, I'm dealing with this because I have no choice, but the truth is on her side. But what she cares about is the well-being of my grandmother. That's why she sacrificed so much time and everything to take care of her herself, because she knew that that's what's needed at the end of the day. You know, you can't just put your elders and stuff into a home. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing, and it's very difficult sometimes to maintain and accommodate these needs for vulnerable people. But when you do, it means the world to them. And what my mom did, she sacrificed everything to ensure my grandmother was taken care of. She was clean. She was fed. She was helped to the bathroom every day, you know. And to have that type of care with no bed sores, no swelling, no insulin needed. You know, she's a diabetic, and for a while there, she needed a lot of insulin. My mom got to the point where she didn't. And, wow. You know, to work that hard.
Yeah.
And everyone's expected to work that hard for their mother and their father. True. You know, And my mom proved that. And right now my uncles are proving that, you know. And it's in that unity and in that strength to look out for our own, especially when we have the truth on our side. It's like none of this happened. We're fighting to make sure people aren't wrongfully accused and people don't spend, even though they already have. My mom and my grandma have both spent time. My grandma has spent time and health in these hospitals waiting to have a decision figured out when the family already had it. My mom spending time in jail for something she didn't do and something she does not deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even, you know, now we got her back. It's like, we can't get back the time we lost. The 3 months she spent there, the 3 months she didn't have us by her side because it was too expensive to go there all the time to North Dakota where they want to charge the same price as a Las Vegas hotel.
Yes.
Jesus. Ain't nothing special in North Dakota. Ain't got to charge that much. Crazy. You hear a movement, everyone wants to join up, they're going to try to bank off of it. Mm. And they did.
Yeah, sick. And your grandmother, and people don't understand dementia because it's something people most people don't talk about, most people don't deal with. This is something you and your family have had to deal with for many years. This is your grandmother. This is the woman that raised you. So I wanted you to talk about what her experience, I want you to speak for your grandmother now, what you think her experience has been being away from your mother and whether or not you know that she's aware of your mother not being near her. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's and for people who don't know, but the people who do know, dementia is a very rough thing on the brain. The body can be completely healthy, but the mind isn't functioning properly. And that creates all the messages and creates us to react the way most people see. She can't do that properly. And it's been hard on her because no matter what, she's a human being. Her mind's turning. She sees what's happening. She's retaining the information. Even though she can't express it or maybe comprehend it fully, she does take in a whole lot and she has to decipher it. But what she does take in is daily things. And when daily things are occurring and none of her close family members she remembers are there, it affects her. When, you know, needs are being met, someone's not there by her side to give her a sip of water, she'll make a noise, she'll cry out, but people like myself or my family will understand that. And we act on it. We give the water and she, boom, goes back to relaxation. And, you know, so being away from people she cares about and loves, you know, like you said, family is medicine. And when she was taken away from not only her medicine of natural order, she was taken away from her medication in the medical realm, and it affected her in a large way. And not to mention, you know, we have her back. We're sitting there and we're caring for her, and she's deeply happy. She's really turned around, and she's become back to the grandmother I know before they took her on the 17th. Even at camp, she was this woman. She was bright spirited. She wasn't in any danger or harm. You know, and a lot of people came by inspired by her. So she was just living it up and loving it. And we were just trying to get her home because they got stuck in a snowstorm. But
what's it been like having her back? What has it been like seeing her? Because I know you told me that, you know, we've been told your grandmother was at death's door. Are the doctors saying that your grandmother is at death's door in Nevada?
No, they're not. Matter of fact, we had set everything up for a hospice and stuff like that. Now we got to go ahead and upgrade to the skilled nursing. And that means she's ready for some rehabilitation and then proper placement. And that's up, you know. That's positive to us because we know our grandmother's not. We're not counting the days, you know. We're just getting her back to where she was. And And a lot of it, you know, in this time that my uncle was at her, she asked, you know, where's Kathleen? You know, where's my mother? And she knows. She knows, you know, she's not fully aware. She can't communicate, but she knows. She knows what's being said. She can comprehend all that. She knows who's around her and who she wants around her. And what she doesn't have right now is my mother.
So this she is, knows this is kind of bittersweet to you, right?
It is bittersweet. You know, it is. It really is. And that's what's, you know, when you know it inside, but then you see your grandmother bring it to light, then it's just like, it just affects you deeply. And, you know, it's missing right now. That's what's missing. I'm missing my mother. She's missing her daughter. My uncle's missing his sister. You know, my cousins are missing their aunt. This is what's happening right now. And she's being wrongfully held, just like my grandmother was. And we're bringing the truth to the light because we just want our family back. We want our family back together. That's all.
Yeah, definitely. It is something that is very sad that despite the fact that your family is reunited right now, your family is not complete. And there has been some positives that have come out of all of this. You have connected with your uncles to come together to protect the two vulnerable women in your family, your grandmother and your mom. And I know that our listeners and our followers want to know, how can we help your family right now? How can we help get your family back together? Because what's missing right now is Kathleen. We need to get this whole family reunited.
I think I know what you said, but you were very choppy.
Okay. Well, let me repeat it. How can we help get your family reunited?
Numerous amounts of ways. Sharing, liking these videos, spreading the word around to your family and friends. And honestly, now, you know, a lot of it we did try to do on our own. You know, we did try to make sure we can do it, but, you know, it's expended our limitations and our abilities financially. And we honestly need to resort to the fact that we need, you know, potential donations to go towards not only the well-being of my grandmother to ensure that she's well taken care of, but mainly the case we are facing for my mother, mm-hmm. which is going to be the war. And, you know, it's the world where you want to believe you don't need money, and to an extent you don't, but to an extent you do, because they force you into that position. But when you do have it and you do have the help of the people, they can't stop that. And sometimes people, and myself included, I drive around the city daily. I see homeless people, I give money. People ask me, I give what I can, you know, because it's the right thing. I don't care if someone's going to come and do it to me one day, but it's just about making someone's day, making sure that the one request they do give in that moment is not denied, you know, and that's what we're dealing with today. And, you know, I feel like some people can't do anything else but maybe donate $1, $5, you know, and anything helps. Just like in those situations when you give a homeless man money, it helps, you know. You donating money to charities, it helps, you know, as long as you know where your money's going and it's going to the proper thing, the world functions better, you know. And unfortunately, you have people who rely on people's sympathy and their affection and their vulnerability to wanting to give. And they do the same thing, but they don't help the people. They end up taking the money, and no one really questions it because they're like, hey, one-time donation, I did my part. And that's where it goes from there, you know.
Definitely. I'm hearing from a lot of our listeners that we have two audio clips playing at the same time. I don't know if the video from that, the audio clip from that video that we were showing of your mom is playing in the background. I apologize for that. If it was covering up what you said, but now that it's not playing anymore, I'll let you take a sip of your water and repeat what you said. Sorry, Russell, because they couldn't hear you because the audio from that video was playing when your mother was on. But I did want to show your mom because, well, one, she has a beautiful smile. I know your family is missing her. It's one of the last videos that was taken on December 6th, the day that the allegations were made against her. And she needs to be home with your family, and people need to know the best way to help her. Right now, the concentration for your family is on getting your family reunited again, getting your family together. And Kathleen is a central part, not just for your family, but for your grandmother's well-being. So how can we help you do that?
You know, with help, it comes in various amounts of ways. You have sharing and liking these videos. Everything in media world is based off of going viral. And I see a lot of simple things that go viral, and I like a lot of it. You know, it's like, hey, it's society. It's what makes us human. It's what makes the world turn. It's the good things. But then you see something so heinous, and, you know, no one really wants to bat an eye. It's like, it's kind of upsetting, you know, when you're like, you don't want to be selfish and be like, oh, you know, but it's just like, okay, in this particular case, we need help. We need help from the people. We need help to spread the story. And a lot of what we did, we tried to do ourselves. We tried to orchestrate the money. My uncle spent a whole lot of money to make sure this happened because he needed to, and, you know, and he wanted to. He wanted to make sure his mother was taken care of. He wanted to make sure that we could progress forward with getting my sister out. And he made the sacrifice. You know, but now we're reaching that point where, you know, it's, if people are willing to donate, and I see a lot of people around the world willing to donate and wanting to help, and I can't deny them of that. I can't sit here and be like, hey, I don't want to take your money because it's wrong, you know, because I see a lot of people do that. I see a lot of people in this movement that did that. GoFundMe's, hey, give me money. We're up here making a change. And then no change was made. Pipeline shut down. I mean, what really did that do? But in this case, you know, with someone like me, it's going to be straight to the point, cutthroat. I know what is needed. And I, you know, we're going to make sure that the good money is documented, properly placed, you know, because that's what's needed in the world. Transparency. And that's what a lot of people don't provide. And that creates tension. And from tension creates fear and hate. And then that breaks down the society. And, but nonetheless, help is needed. People need each other, whether you know each other or not. Everyone needs a helping hand. And in this case, so far, if it wasn't for the listeners, the people willing to help, the people who reached out, the people who donated their money already.
And their time.
People who, and the time, complete time. And time is money to some of these people. You know,
a lot of people.
They all just want to see a greater good, and they're willing to sacrifice it, you know, and it's just a blessing. And it's something that we all need to continue forward, you know, like my case, I will take what help is needed for myself, and I will make sure I expend the same amount.
Well, one of the things,
I'm not going to sit here and,
one of the things that's really remarkable to me is that so many people put their time and effort into going out to Standing Rock to protect the water, to protect vulnerable people, women, elders, tradition, and legacy. And your family represents all of that. Your mother was one of the people out there. You were one of the people out there standing up for all of us. protecting our rights to clean water. And our audience, the people that listen to this program, A Mexican Crossing Lines, the people that spent their time and efforts in helping to research and follow and share this story, all of them have been instrumental in uncovering and exposing Mulaney and a lot of the other people that are involved in falsely accusing your mother. And they were also instrumental in getting your grandmother home. And that, to me, is what media justice can do. I'm really proud of our audience. I'm proud of the people that have stood for what this movement has really meant. What it's supposed to be about. Protecting water protectors. And this was one of the most egregious and unjust cases that I saw come out of Standing Rock. And I've never seen crowdsourcing of this type bring a just result to the people like has happened in your case with your grandma. I know that the people out there that are watching and listening to this are just as elated and happy that your grandmother is home as I am, as Duke is. And we can't wait to hear that Kathleen is home too.
I cannot wait either. She should have already been home.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, I want to thank all of you, especially you, Russell, for being with us and bringing us this update. We will be having you back very soon because our next steps are bringing Kathleen Bennett home. And I want to send much love to your grandma, to your mom. Please give us our love from the station and from our listeners. And also, thanks to Beth and Michael and Robert and all of your family members and supporters, Jasmine, Beth, everybody, Josh, all the witnesses, all the people that have visited Mary, every single one of you who have shared our shows, all of the people that made this possible. I want to thank all of our radio family, all the Trujillo family, everybody out there that helped bring Mary Trujillo home. This is a celebration of family. Thank you very much for listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Thanks, Russell, for being with us.
Thank you, Duke and Cindy. Hey, remember, the public, anything is possible, and we prove that unity can be stronger than the system they lay before you. Remember, we did this without an attorney. We did this without a lawyer. We did this by grassroots networking and diligence. I mean, it's pretty impressive what we did. And, you know, I want to sit here and be, you know, now that it's happened and we want to move forward, but, you know, it opens up the book for a lot of things and it shows to you the people who will suffer from something, who will be put into a situation and they'll make you feel like there is no hope. They will tell you what you are trying to achieve is impossible and all you do won't be worth it. But if you never give up and you continue forward and you continue to trust your gut and find the right connections and find the right people who can help you, together you can beat this or die trying, because that's how I am. I'll die for my family and I'll die for the people I love. And I went to North Dakota to sacrifice myself for that entire land and for the ancestry, everyone. I mean, the ancestors, they died. They suffered. And we are the result of it. We are still alive today because of it. They sacrificed everything to ensure we can make a difference one day. And that day is today. So please, if you think you can't make a difference, don't think that. If you think what we're trying to achieve is impossible, don't think that. Apply yourself. Figure out what you're good at. Figure out where you can help and do it. And it will matter. And it will change the world ultimately in the end.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you, guys. Thank you, family. Radio family. Peace. Free Kathleen Bennett.